You're listening to Technolitics on the web 24/7. You may be listening to this now, tomorrow, yesterday, whenever.
Okay, no, right, especially yesterday. This is a shout out to all our peeps yesterday. Yo, digging it on the podcast.
What did you say before? In the morning, the evening thing? Is that what you said or something?
Okay.
I was aiming for that, but I forgot.
You forgot it. Hey, let's just try it cheesy. You're listening to Technolitics. We're not on the air, but we're on the web 24/7. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Here we are.
I didn't like that, but then it got good.
Okay. Okay, well, let's just keep it all.
Insert time here.
Almost. Fuck it. We're recording now. We'll just go for it.
Good. Insert time here. I'm Jason McCandless, and with me is
Gareth Stack.
And we're going to talk to you about technology and
politics and other things like that. Yeah. Okay, this is a podcast.
It is.
It is indeed. And it's called Technolitics because we can't think of a better name.
We cannot.
Well, we can think of a better name. Yeah.
We will think of a better name.
Right now it's called Technolitics, and it's about technology, politics, and the media, the intersection and synergy of those areas and spheres of interest. And we're just going to discuss some stuff, hopefully in a bit more depth, maybe.
We're going to keep like it to interesting stuff, though. I mean, we're going to do all the cool stories of the week and...
Yeah, we're going to steal them all off Dig, so...
Yeah.
Good luck, Dig Nation, catching up with our speeding racehorse of desire. Okay, what's our first story, Jason?
The Patriot Act has gotten passed again.
Outrageous.
It's ridiculous. They've started bag searches on the New York subway. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I think I have, yeah. what's your take on this?
I don't know if like stepping up these securities and taking away people's civil liberties is actually going to have any impact on terrorism. I mean, someone can just like go out there, get a rocket launcher, blow up an airplane. Like, and not that I'm endorsing that, but like, I don't see how in the subway, like checking someone's bag is like going to do anything. In fact, what they said, in regards to that, they actually said that they were planning this for a while. It just wasn't the right circumstances.
Yeah, I think it's like either the chief commissioner of the New York Police Department or some kind of similar role said that, like, yeah, this is the right time now that people are afraid to introduce this draconian measure, you know, which is obviously they had been planning it and they didn't just bring it in. It's nothing to do with the London bombings, although it's a convenient timing, etc.
Yeah, a little bit too convenient.
That's it. More conspiracy. Yeah, it was all done just so they could search.
Are we going to turn this into a conspiracy show?
Well, we could.
Are there conspiracy podcasts yet?
Probably not. That would be very innovative. But then our alien overlord masters wouldn't allow this to be downloaded. It would just be static when you downloaded it.
Exactly.
Be like crazed Madonna recording that you illegally gotten off P2P or something. Fuck you, P2P. I'm Madonna. And on to our second story.
If this actually gets any bit popular, could people please start torrenting it?
Yeah, torrent it. Do not download it and just leech from our servers because they will be weak and powerless. Much like we were in school, probably. So, John C. Dvorak, or I'll just call him Dork for short, because he really is.
Sounds like he's coming to invade or something.
Dvorak. Dvorak. The Dvorak army will not settle until we have defeated all your earthly forces. Dvorak, known from his role in Twit, which is a hugely popular podcast, for the obvious reason that 98% of podcasts are terrible and Twit isn't quite as bad as those.
Yeah, big up to our homie Leo Laporte.
Yo, Leo! Sort of
get that one out there.
Keep it going with that Cheesemeister accent. We love it. We just sit there. We could listen to your voice all day. It's like drinking a sweet deluxe cola. It's beautiful. So Dvorak has made another outlandish statement. I think he's well known for his fantastically prescient statement. I'm quoting Wikipedia here, which quotes Dvorak as saying, "The Macintosh uses an experimental pointing device called a mouse. There is no evidence that people want to use these things." Meh. I added the meh. And he's made another great prescient statement. And, well, his comprehension of things tech is just outstanding. The guy's like a god of tech. His opinion is that CC, Creative Commons, doesn't matter. What's the point of it? I mean, what's your take on this, Jason?
Well, like, has he actually looked like at the content that's out there that is CC'd at the minute and what people are actually doing with that? I mean, I think, like, does he use the internet? Like, if he's a techie, like...
Oh, he's probably kind of using some kind of BBS or something. I'm not sure. Right, she's okay. Moved on to the net.
Yeah. Using Microsoft software.
Probably. Microsoft Telnet BBS.
Is there like the latest Internet Explorer security update prevents Creative Commons Media? Does yeah.
It deletes anything which is not actually copyrighted to Microsoft from your machine, allegedly.
Yeah.
No, of course it doesn't, but it will one day, allegedly.
DRM. Is DRM. All I can say.
Dangerous RAM madness. That's backwards. I don't know. I'm an idiot. I'm so deleting that. I'm not leaving that stupidity in there. But this is interesting because it ties in. There's an article on Wired.com, which I don't know if you've read it, but it's from this guy, John Battelle, who was a kind of a tech journalist back in the early war zone of the internet when the missiles were still flying and the craters were still being... Just a silly metaphor. I'll just abandon it.
The days of DARPANET? Is that...
Yeah, the days of DARPANET. Before the web, at least. I don't know if it's quite back to DARPANET. But, and basically, this John Battelle has written an article about where the web was, where it is now, and where it's going. And he makes the really, really interesting point that 60% of the content on the net is user-created. I mean, essentially, when the web started off, all these major corporations were afraid of investing in it, afraid of making websites because they thought... No one will ever be able to afford to make enough content for all these channels, like TV. You know, it costs $8 million to make a single program, a single hour, or whatever, and it would just cost so much money. But people made the content themselves: Wikipedia, podcasts, blogs, goes on and on and on. And Dvorak just doesn't seem to see this. He doesn't really understand user-created content and how people might want that content to be able to be recycled, used, developed without being controlled.
Yeah, I think this is exactly like the whole AOL walled garden thing. They didn't see a reason why people would want to go outside their walled garden and view other people's websites. They thought, oh, they could just be the one content provider. And, like, obviously that's shown to not work. And AOL have... They've dug themselves a hole of
oh,
that one.
Did you see they recently released their walled garden of gorgeous content and... You know, we're all so impressed. But now we're just quoting Dignation directly, so we're just going to skip off that.
Yeah. Do we have an AOL keyword for this podcast, actually?
AOL sucks. That'll be our keyword for...
Okay, yeah.
If you go to AOL and type in AOL sucks, you'll get this podcast. So anyway, Dvorak is an idiot. And moving on. What's our next story, Jason?
It's Windows Vista. And the fact that it will require a secure monitor. That's more DRM stuff coming our way. Hopefully.
Hopefully, because we do. I mean,
we
as
love
users.
DRM.
I demand I DRM. Do. I go to my store and I say, listen, I'm sorry, this MP3 player I've bought, I mean, I could just put songs on it.
What? I really like paying that extra fee to know the research has gone in to put in all that DRM.
Exactly. I mean, sure, DVD John will just hack it tomorrow, but it doesn't matter. I mean, that it's the principle of a thing. It's supporting corporate efforts at controlling their content, because that's all it is. It's all their content after all. I mean, who the hell would want to create their own content or maybe remix existing content? That's just piracy. I mean, we'd be on ships in the sea.
And there's no government control or
exactly.
corporate control. Yeah.
Is there a difference, Jason? I don't
is
know.
There?
Is there really beyond the title? I don't know. But anyway, no one's going to buy these
but,
evil
yeah.
monitors. It's ridiculous.
I think actually, I'm not sure, but does that actually allow you to play your own content that maybe you or someone with a Creative Commons license has produced?
Well, I mean, surely it doesn't make sense, because if it did, the only way it would be if you could if you registered your content instantly while creating it. I mean, you couldn't even play it back while creating it unless you were registering it all the time in constant contact with the giant Microsoft database of all content that is allowed to exist. And if it didn't have that, then you would just play pirate stuff, which wouldn't have all this DRM. So, you know, it makes no sense.
This concept of Microsoft database, though, that's scary.
Isn't it? I think that's what they were after with their whole passport idea. I think the essential idea of that and .NET is, like, ultimately they will have this, like, control over the passage of information, content, applications. I mean, that's what they want. They want tax on everything. They don't want, allegedly, they don't want to
sell
you software.
Google will come along and do it better.
That's probably...
And everyone will love them.
Everybody will love them until their souls are purchased by Google for, you know, a reasonable price and sold back to them for the rest of their natural lives.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Enough cynicism for one.
Enough conspiracies.
Do you want to launch into our next story?
The next story, is the House of Representatives have made an unprecedented investigation of scientists whose studies featured prominently in a 2001 Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPEC. I just completely read that from the paper, but yeah, I think you know a bit more about this, Gareth. Yeah,
this is an interesting one. I don't think this has been kind of blogged about, really, because it's from the old-fashioned print media. So it's from the Chronicle of Higher Education, which is, you know, an American magazine. So, it's kind of like Times.
So is this like a podcast premiere?
I think so. Oh. Possibly a virginal topic for the rape of the podcast. So let's proceed with that thunderous news discursive raping. Essentially, the story goes like this.
You can tell this is our first podcast, by the way. It's pretty obvious.
Well, we're clearly veterans. I mean, I don't know what you're saying, Jason, but okay, the story is the House of Representatives Committee on Energy and Commerce, which is a huge honeypot committee, which basically means anyone on it is free to get as much money and privileges and trips away as they can from, you know, major energy and oil providers and all the rest of it, which is headed up by this guy called Joe Barton, who's a Texas Republican. And this particular representative, prior to becoming a representative, was a particularly important worker in the gas and oil industry. He was some sort of chairman of some sort of horrible corporation.
Well, I think there are a few people in politics that are particularly
Texans?
Important in the oil business.
Oh, what a coincidence. Well, they've decided, this committee, that people responsible for investigating climate change should be investigated because they're suspicious characters. They might even be communists.
Oh, yeah.
Creative communists, perhaps. But so in particular, there's two scientists whose, as you said, Jason, whose report was kind of prominent in getting the US to finally admit that climate change is occurring. And, you know, while it wasn't particularly original research, it was politically important. It was politically important as news and for change. And these two scientists are being investigated. And more than that, in fact, they've also asked the National Science Foundation, which gives grants to scientific research in the United States, for a list of all grants and awards given in the area of climate research. So they're basically saying, if you do climate research, you may be investigated. You are under suspicion, as if, you know, the research itself was something dangerous. I mean,
do they have a tan? Do any of these climate change people happen to originate from outside the US?
Are they wearing a hat that could be a turban? Who knows? Possibly not, because they haven't been shot yet, but, you know. maybe the it's not, that's not really fair. The Americans just make you disappear. It's the Brits that shoot you. But on to our next news story.
Anyway. Oh, this next one is absolutely brilliant, and it's a bit more lighthearted, I think, than...
It is. It's gentle.
It's the Japanese researchers producing the world's most lifelike robot. I think it's pronounced Repeli Q1, is that correct?
Yeah, I looking at it, I thought it was, you know, short for replicant or something, but it's really not. It's like Repeli or Repeli.
Okay.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah. you got to check this one out. Go online, do a Google image search, whatever. Look at this robot. It looks amazing. I mean, it would almost convince you. Like, it would almost confuse you. Sorry, Robert.
It would. It would almost excite you.
Almost.
Almost. If it was running open source.
Unless you swing that way, in which it would really excite you.
Yeah. I mean, is that an orientation? Can you be a robophobic?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit robophobic. I'm not particularly... I don't particularly tolerate that sort of behavior towards robots. I think they're innocent and they shouldn't be violated in the way implied by nothing except for my own filthy mind.
Maybe the robot's got a, you know, the hot coffee mod.
Yeah, those aren't spasms, guys. You know, when that robot is twitching unexpectedly, she wants it. Yeah, she does. But this does, it really does look, I mean, quite scary. It's better, let's be honest, it's better looking than a lot of girls. I mean, this robot...
especially some of the ones you've been with.
Yeah, especially. I mean, if you saw this robot on a blind date, you'd sit down and you'd have the date. You wouldn't, you know, leave quietly from the restaurant pretending you hadn't recognized her.
I don't know what you talk about though, Gareth, but... 1010?
I think her servos could make a pleasing murmur as I talk to myself. Much as we're doing now, really.
And what would you order for her? Maybe a gallon of oil?
Yeah, that could work. I think that might smooth the progress.
Or maybe that's a bit of a naive interpretation of robots on my part. I mean, oil, like, it should probably be silicon or something, but...
Yeah, they drink silicon. Yeah. They're going to attack us for our silicon, wouldn't they? and spasm into hot coffee mode and just kill us all through.
Just as long as they don't find the beaches, we'll be okay.
Let's hope we can defend them and fight them everywhere.
We'll fight them on the beaches.
Okay, and we'll fight them in the laboratories. And laboratories. On to more professionality. Yes.
More politics.
More politics. This is important. This stuff is really important. And this is also, again... This
it is important because it affects some of you. In fact, it affects all of us, really. I mean,
it does.
America has got the stranglehold of the world.
Well, that's I think a lot of people in the States, you know, they look at people podcasting and blogging about stuff going on in the States and they say, hey, this is my country. What the hell are you commenting about it for? And, you know, in fairness, they have a point, but they're missing the point that America's control of world geopolitics since World War II is just phenomenal. I mean, you really can't compare them to anything, especially since the end of the Cold War. And the decisions made in America about copyright and about civil liberties affect everyone. So, sorry, guys, but, you know, we're interested too. And... Yeah, and on that vein, the Bush administration, another web first, have asked the National Science Advisory Board for biosecurity, which governs what can and can't be developed bioweapon-wise, and what constitutes a bioweapon, what constitutes non-weapon research, to basically advise them, develop ways of balancing the need to publish results with threats to public health, quote-unquote. And there's a similar kind of thing going on in the UK where the government are saying, well, you know, we should investigate what research can be done, what could be dangerous. But this is really silly. Jason?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, any terrorist is going to probably use conventional methods anyway. Mm-hmm. In fact, why couldn't the terrorists just go and set up their own laboratories themselves? I'm sure they've got good funding.
Well, that's an interesting point. The funny thing about this is the assumption that terrorists are going to use the latest technology. When have they ever done that? I mean, the attack in the Tokyo Underground, which is like the only attack ever in the Western world using a biological or chemical weapon, was done with sarin gas, which was developed by the Nazis in the 1930s. This is not cutting-edge tech.
Is Tokyo actually the Western world? I would
Well, Western world in the sense that they're developed, you know.
Okay. Because only developed people matter. It doesn't matter if those undeveloped people die in them.
Well, that's a good point, Jason. I mean, I think that goes without saying, really.
Yeah, yeah. Agent Orange. You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, if any of you young kids, young like myself out there don't know, the Americans use Agent Orange on the Vietnamese people back in the war. And
it was a deforestation agent, wasn't it? It was designed to kill off trees and forests so they could more easily snipe the peasants.
I think they tested it out in people as well, but I know that people are still suffering from the effects. There's second generation kids that are like 15, 14, whatever, and like they've got deformed limbs and they're just like sick.
It's just horrific. And that's another example of, I mean, that's a technology which is, if I can remember correctly, that was developed from a fertilizer. It was actually developed by Monsanto, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was.
Our friendly Monsanto Corporation, yes. Responsible for many, many developments and benefits to the human race.
I love my hormones and my milk.
Yeah, I do. I particularly enjoy developing, you know, udders. The udder is great because, I mean, you don't have to buy milk anymore. You can just squeeze it out of your disfigured mutant body. Ideally, though, we'd prefer not to become genetic mutants.
Yeah, I just
we're
like,
kind of straight off the topic a bit, but hey, yeah, you know, it's interesting too.
Yeah, speaking of that, it's actually interesting. Like, how are all these hormones affecting our moods? I mean, the stuff that we eat today must be controlling us in so many ways. And
well,
I think, guess you could get into a whole conspiracy thing there that they're actually
designed to control us. I don't know. I think that's kind of yeah. Obviously, we're eating all these pesticides. In Europe, at least, you can't feed cattle and poultry, etc. hormones. In the States you can, so if you're in the States and you eat a cheeseburger, you know, you probably will develop those udders, but over here they can't.
So that's why we're balanced and you're not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really you should listen to us because we haven't been affected by the evil conspiratorial government hormones.
That is, of course, if your firewall lets us in.
That's true, the great American firewall, as we call it over here. It just seems to stop so many websites, you know, stuff like truthandpeaceandliberty.com, which is like the most popular website on the internet. You probably haven't even heard of it.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we've gone a bit off topic.
Madness, completely. Okay, next story, Jason.
The next one is cinemas in the UK are going to ban mobile phones. I think this is in the Sunday Times.
Yeah,
the idea is being tested at the moment at the Edinburgh Festival. The phones of today can record video clips, and some unscrupulous people are going to the cinema.
Thieves,
exactly. These people should not be doing this. No, they're going to the cinema and recording a clip and putting that online to share over P2P. No.
You're telling me that they're stealing the pictures.
They're stealing.
So if I go to the cinema the next day, it's gone because they've stolen it. I mean, there's no film.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going in there and ripping the film out and like putting it online for everyone to have a go.
This is insanity.
And they're putting it up there. Like, I don't know what these phones can do, but I'm guessing maybe 50 by 50 pixels or something.
Yeah, you know, that sort of porn that makes you squint. It can do just about.
I mean, okay. I think this is going a bit far. Well, maybe in the future the technology will be there, but... Well,
let's tell them what they're doing first. I mean, I think we've gone into what the exact breach of civil liberties at stake is here.
Well, I don't...
Well, they're actually taking the phones away from people. We haven't actually mentioned that. This is what they're testing. It's removing phones from people and taking them away.
It is a breach of civil liberties, but, I mean, how do you really define civil liberties? I mean, if you go to a concert and you've got a camera in your pocket, digital or disposable, whatever, I mean, the bunches will take it off you. And it's happened to me in the past.
It's not the only thing that's happened to you at a concert, is it, Jason?
Yes.
Moving swiftly on. but even that, I mean, it's the creep and crawl. I think it's as someone said, it's the baby steps towards fascism, and it really is. I mean, that sounds extreme, but it's not. I mean, the liberties don't get taken away in one fell swoop. If they did, everyone would rise up and complain. They get taken away in small, little, tiny baby steps, and this is one. This is taking away the liberty to be an asshole and answer your phone. No, of course not. It's taking
away. Nobody likes someone answering the phone.
Of course not. We don't like that. It's terrible. But it is taking away the liberty to have something that you own, which, let's face it, is no threat to anything. Because, as I've written down here on our crib sheet, our cheat sheet. I mean, really, let's talk about P2P for a second. There are three kinds of DVDs, movies, full-length movies on P2P. Screeners, DVD rips, and cams. Cams are shot in a cinema, probably in Russia or China, with a camcorder. Screeners are people who've gotten an advanced copy of a film for like the Academy Awards, yeah, who've ripped it and put it online. And DVD rips are already out in DVD. Everyone has access to them. Someone buys the DVD and rips it. Now, none of those
breaks
three methods...
encryption.
Yeah, breaks the difficult encryption there, etc. But I mean, all of these will not be affected. And so what are they thinking will be affected? Some future piracy, you know, in the UK?
I guess it has to be like something preparing for the future. That's the only thing it can be, I guess.
But it's not addressing the real threat, I think, what they perceive as a threat, which is itself ridiculous because, you know, they've got so many other things. There's the net now, there's consoles. How much of a threat is piracy? Arguably, it's not a threat at all. But, hey.
Well, yeah, then there's the problem of like, well, what is piracy really? And in fact, should we really own media? I mean... Yay, well, creative, insert, yeah. Creative Commons
insert Creative Commons
advertisement here.
But that's an interesting question. I mean, we've all almost come to accept that this idea that once you copy something, it's stolen. But I mean, when you think about it, that's a ridiculous idea. And the fact that anyone even gives it a moment's credibility is just sheer madness. I mean, clearly, you have not stolen it. The person who possessed it still has it. So you haven't stolen it. You know,
exactly.
Maybe
yeah.
In the sense of if you sleep with someone's wife, you've stolen her. You know, maybe like that. I don't know, but you haven't stolen it.
Yeah, but you've in some sense, I guess you've taken money away from them. Well, what they see as a potential sale.
A potential sale. I think that's exactly the quandary. I mean, it's a potential sale.
Yeah.
Who says you would have bought it? I mean, that's nonsense.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think there's some actual. There are some music bands out there that actually have the right idea and realize that. If they use P2P and let people copy their music, they're actually getting a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will actually go and buy tickets to see their show and actually give more actual money to the bands rather than the recording studios and the labels.
Didn't a favorite band of yours do something like that, Jason? I thought Weezer released an album online only.
Did they? I've never heard that.
Maybe they didn't, and I'm talking nonsense, in which case I apologize. But I thought
and if they did, we're cutting this out because I'm a big Weezer fan.
I'm going to run off and download it immediately. Some band like Weezer, I know Weezer, Wheatus, who knows? Something like that they did. Moving swiftly on.
Moving on. Another political story.
Russell. Sorry, continue.
Our next story is another political one. It's Iran's execution of two gay teenagers who were 16 and 17. Iran has actually executed 4,000 people for the crime of homosexuality since the 1979 revolution. Despite the fact that homosexual relations are extremely common in Arab cultures, and due to the historic and continuing clusterization of... Okay, I'm going to stop reading your stuff, Garth, and...
Jason is reading from my notes that I prepared earlier.
Yes, because I flew in today and I wasn't prepared at all.
You were at DEF CON. What was that like, Jason?
Oh, it was totally wicked, you know? Like, awesome.
Did you get much hacking done?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hacktastic.
Hacktastic.
But yeah, I mean, this is insanity. Like, the interesting thing about it is that there is two versions of this story. The first version is that, you know, these kids essentially were killed for being gay, which is, you know, who could possibly support that? But the second version, the supposed cover story that the Iranian government are now giving it, is that they were executed for the rape of a 13-year-old boy. And who could support that? I mean, that's, the rape is terrible. Kill him. It's awful. Yeah, well, depending on your political outlook and all the rest of it. But this is being reported in the mainstream media in two ways. It's being reported both by some papers, such as the Murdoch-owned Times of London, that they were rapists and they were executed for this. But, and it's being reported on blogs and in some other papers, you know, that they were killed for being gay. And it's a very interesting sort of comment on new media and access to media. Things like the Abu Ghraib scandal, things like that, where new media have added all this information that wasn't necessarily present in the media.
Yeah, well, why did Rupert Murdoch Times actually go with the cover story on this one? Since, well, aren't they pro-American, anti-Arab, I would have thought? And wouldn't this be something else to have, like, against Arab culture?
That's the interesting one, because, you know, Iran is now in negotiations over, you know, support for the war on terror, and in return getting access to nuclear power, which they've wanted for years to develop their economy and so on, poison their citizenry, etc. And, you know, so they're now the new kind of almost an ally, or not. The threat, of course, is, and this is another story that we didn't bring up, but the Bush administration are now developing guidelines, and they've asked various advisory committees to develop guidelines under which, under a similar situation to 9/11, without any investigation of the source, which is highly unlikely to be Iran, it's much more likely to be a Shia group working out of Iraq or a domestic group of Muslims unconnected to Al-Qaeda or connected or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, in that situation where there's a terrible attack similar to 9/11, they will attack Iran unilaterally with nuclear weapons. That's the solution they proposed. I mean, it's insanity.
What about actual libertarian groups within America itself, the one that overthrew the government?
Such as Timothy McVeigh.
Exactly, style, yeah.
It's insanity. It's the carrot and stick approach that Republicans seem to love so much. And the carrot is, you know, we won't kill you. And the stick is you're nuked to a desert.
And I bet the excuse they're going to use for this is groupthink again. That when people... like, didn't they use that for the excuse to bomb Afghanistan, I think? It was groupthink, which is basically, oh, people are in a group. No one actually bothered to check the sources. Oh, crap.
That's really interesting, because I'm a psychology student, and groupthink as a theory has been basically thrown out. It's no longer considered a valid theory.
Really?
Completely not at all.
Okay.
Groups do make mistakes, but the idea that there's a systematic system of how they make mistakes is just nonsense. It's essentially been disproven. So,
Well, maybe they won't use it as an excuse again. Or maybe they'll fund research to prove that it is valid.
Yeah, we've made a mistake and we're going to prove it and we're going to make them again. And this is demonstrating it with this research. Excellent. I think that's, we've come to the end of our stories. This probably won't go out on the net.
Because it probably won't. Or probably maybe won't. It'll come out later as an extra, you know.
Like, oh, yeah, on the DVD of our TV show.
On the DVD, yeah. It'll have no video because we're not recording, but...
No, it won't. I mean, it'll be one of those boring extras that only lardy geeks in the basement listen to. That's you. I hate it. I don't think I hate it when they say that you're listening to the commentary on a DVD and they're like, no one's going to be listening to the commentary on this DVD, so I'll just, you know, burp, brap. the guy's got no respect for the people who are listening, because if they weren't listening, they wouldn't have heard it.
Well, why were you listening?
Because, you know, I like extras.
Okay. There's nothing to them, and you're paying, like, 20 euros more for it or something, but okay.
What do you mean 20 euros more? You mean than if you pirated it, Jason? Is that what you're
talking about? No, I mean like the normal version and the super deluxe extra version.
I don't know if that came out in the mic. My body just made a strange sound. Hunger and displeasure.
I think we're all suffering from hunger right now.
This podcast took how much effort to make? Outrageous amounts.
Yeah, so you better appreciate it.
It doesn't sound it. It sounds like we're just sitting here not having fun, but you know, unprofessional. But it actually, there was hours of testing. We had a crew of, what, 5 people at one point?
Yeah, and everyone just left.
And everyone left. But, you know, we're still here. We care.
We care. We care.
So,
We're actually going to, I think this, you probably got this off archive.org, I think. So
yeah, archive.org. That's where
we're just like to thank them for putting it on. And
they are legendary.
They are. Yeah.
And, you know, like most legendary things, they'll probably go out of business. Are they in business? I don't know. How do they support themselves?
I don't know.
Generous donation.
Is it a charity?
Who knows? But they'll probably disappear. But while they're there, you know, they rule. As just Creative Commons in general.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever a dork who can barely make it onto a Twittish broadcast cares to imply.
What are you talking about?
Allegedly. Okay, good night. Goodbye. That's it.